This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Have you ever said, "No one understands me"? Have you ever made that statement or even thought about it? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to us in our time of needs. In times when we know not which way to turn, where to go, what to do. We pray that we may take seriously the word that you have for us today in this sermon, and we pray that we may understand that we have a high priest who has been tempted in all ways as we have, yet without sinning. So we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come into our hearts. For it is in your name we ask it. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, beginning with verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. There's help on the way. That's what I said to my wife when I awakened to find her in the midst of having a stroke. How thankful I was when the paramedics arrived and carefully placed her in the ambulance. Maybe someone at the hospital can help. That was my prayer. There's help on the way. In fact, it is available for us all of the time. Yes, even right now. Listen to what the Bible says, and I've read it to you once, but I want to read it to you again. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I believe that I have read this passage of Scripture to more people on pastoral visits than any other in the Bible, for it speaks to us in all circumstances of life. Again, may I ask you, have you ever made the statement, "No one really understands"? Most of us have, but isn't it true that we realize how emotional sometimes we can get? Nobody understands us. We are the one who has the worst problem. And then we look around after the feelings have quieted, and we see that's not true. Certainly it is not true in our particular cases, because we don't have to look very far, and there we see a person who is really crushed. Then we can go to them. Then we can find our comfort in comforting them. But beyond that, there is a great word that has been given to us in the Bible, and that's what I'd like to center our thoughts on today, and that is that our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, understands the situations that we find ourselves in, regardless of what they might be. The writer of the book of Hebrews gives it to us when he says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. The high priest had to be in full touch with his people, but he also had to be in touch with God. His task was to usher people into the presence of God so that he might become a part of their lives. What a task that was for the high priest. And what a task it is for those of us today who are Christians dealing with people, hoping that they will come to faith in Christ as Savior and Lord. One of the greatest challenges that I have had in preaching and also in visiting with people has been just that. It was not the challenge so much to teach them who Jesus was and to teach them why he had come and what he had done for them and how he would walk with them, but it was to present it in such a way that the Holy Spirit could take those words and really make the people understand that he is not just a dogma, he is not just a person of history, but he is an individual, the Son of God and a Savior of the world who wants to come and live in our hearts. Let me tell you, on September 5th, I was sitting in my study at home preparing this sermon when my telephone rang. At that time, I thought that it was kind of a strange time of the night for somebody to be talking. But I lifted the receiver, and here was a good friend. He said to me, they live in the same apartment, about 100 steps away from our apartment. He said, could you come right down? We've had some sad news. So hurriedly, I lay my pencil down and I headed down the corridor as fast as I could. And when I got into the apartment, I found two people who were really crushed. I thought, as I was going on the way with this bit of information, we've had some sad news, that there's good news on the way, regardless of what the circumstance might be. Did I have the good news? Not coming from my person. But I was carrying the good news. And as I sat down with them, they shared with me the terrible facts that a 20-year-old grandson had been found dead. They didn't have the details at that particular time. They were simply broken. And I sat there and asked a few questions that I thought might help them to ventilate just a little bit. But they were certainly inadequate. And then finally I said to them, you know, you've called me here and I'm so thankful that you have. But as an individual, I don't have much to say to you except I'm sorry. And to express my sympathy to you and pray for you and so forth. But I am the carrier tonight of good news. As I walked down that corridor, the good news was on the way. And what is the good news? It is the good news that I carry that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. What was the faith that we professed? We profess that God loves us and that he has sent his Son into this world. And he has suffered and has died at the cross of Calvary. And for those who will trust him and believe in him, there is life everlasting. What was I doing? I was sharing the word of God. That's the high priest. That's why he came. And as I sat there with him, I said, you know, I sympathize with you. But my sympathy is not very much. But here is a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he has been tempted in every way as we have, and yet without sin. That's the Savior. And as I read the gospel and we shared these great truths together, the tears still flowed, but there seemed to be a quietness. I am in the presence of God. This is a situation that is really too much for me to handle. But God is with me, and with his grace, we will get through. That's the great high priest. There is help on the way in every single one of our circumstances. And what a blessing this is. Notice here, it says that he has been in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us go back to the night when our Lord was arrested and tried and in a most unjust way. He was there before the high priest and all of the other officials of the Jewish religion. They were asking him all kinds of questions. He answered them. He dealt with them. He had before him all kinds of temptation. There was another one in that courtyard that night. His name was Peter. You know the story. Not long ago that we did a series on Peter and some of the others and the last hours of Jesus' life. A person came up to Peter and said, aren't you one of his? And he denied it. And then again she asked, aren't you his? And once again, he denied it. And a bit later, they came back and said, you are one of his. And he denied it. And then Jesus walked by and looked at him. Peter had given in to the tempter. Peter had fallen into sin. Satan had done his work in Peter's heart on that day. While Peter was going through this sin, Jesus was going through this temptation. And just a bit before that, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there you could see the temptation that was before him. He cried out, oh God, if it be possible, remove this from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. But he went through with it. And at any time, I imagine that Jesus could have said, yeah, I want to turn myself in. I have been trying to present myself as the promised Messiah. And they would have let him go. They certainly would not have taken him to the cross. But Jesus knew, for this reason I was brought into this world, and I will continue on by the grace of God. We have a Savior who has been in all points tempted far more than we. Yet he never gave way to sin. I'll see it through. Peter couldn't do that. And so the days went by, and Jesus was crucified. He rose again. And then one day he met Peter and some of the other disciples out by the sea. And after breakfast, he said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? He looked at that man and he felt for him. There was sympathy. He never condones what Peter did. That's not the point. That isn't the kind of a Savior, a Lord, that says, well, that's all right, just do better the next time. He made Peter face up to his sin. And when that man brought to Jesus a repentant heart, then our Lord said in his own way, feed my lamb, feed my sheep, which meant, Peter, I forgive you. I like what Barclay in his commentary has said. We never know temptation at its fiercest because we fall long before that stage is reached. Jesus was tempted far beyond what we are. Satan put everything he possessed into the assault, and Jesus withstood it all. And therefore, he is saying to us people today that it is not right, especially if you are a Christian, to say nobody understands. He understands. I understood partially what that grandfather and grandmother were going through on that September night, but not completely. But our Lord Jesus did. He could feel the hurt. He could put, symbolically speaking, his arms around them and say to them, I love you, and I'll be with you through all of these crushing, difficult moments. That's our Savior. There's help on the way. And you never have to wonder about it, because if you will live with him in that word, he will always be there to comfort you. So we have a great invitation in our text today. He says, come to the throne of grace. Come there and with confidence so that you may find mercy and find grace just in that time when you need it the most. That's the invitation, friend. And that invitation to have the Savior speak to you and me in those trying times when it is so very, very difficult, walk with us today. And so in my catalog of verses that I have put into the spiritual computer, certainly this one has to be there. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, just when we need it the most. Isn't that a Savior? Isn't that somebody who gives you security? Isn't that somebody who, you know, when the days are not quite as bad as some others can be, that you can face anything, the future, whatever it is, because whatever happens, that Lord will be right there with you to comfort, to strengthen you. Don't ever say it. No one understands. If you mean human beings, well, there might be a chance that that's true. Though I even doubt that, because the people of God seem to understand when a brother or sister is really hurting. But even if the brethren fail us, we have a Lord who walks with us. And it's my prayer today that it has not only been to teach another lesson, but it is one where you could feel the loving arms of Christ just lift you up to heaven, and say, there is the Lord who truly loves me. Amen. Heavenly Father, give us the grace to humble ourselves and look to you for comfort and strength when the going is rough. Forgive us, O Lord, when sometimes we have wrestled with these problems, gone everywhere to find the solution to them, except to the throne of grace. Help us as you're there to lift us up and to tell us what you can do for us, that you can strengthen us, that you can direct us, that you can comfort us, and above all, that you can forgive us. O Lord, we pray that you will bless that word and that it may be good news on the way for many this day who live with their loneliness, longing to hear that voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's gospel message will bring you peace, joy, and strength for the days to come. A nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders, is supported entirely by our listening audience. People around the world have been able to hear the message of salvation as the result of these gifts and prayers. We ask for your continued prayerful and financial support in sharing the gospel message for years to come. Today's service is available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Our website also has many other spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit us anytime at christiancrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, celebrating 70 years of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.